Welcome to Dome Patrol Premier League.
Everyone, and welcome to this week's Dome Patrol United Premier League podcast. As always, I'm your host, James. Joining me this week from his 1 week hiatus last week where he claimed he was working, Mr. Ben Wright. Ben, how are you?
I'm very well, mate. I'm very well. I was working. Was I working? I can't remember what I was doing actually, but I know I couldn't make, I think I was probably crying after the way the restart went for us, but
I remember rightly, you were at a barbecue.
I think that might have been it. That might have been it. You know, I felt the hot seat. I've got competition up now with Chris's cameo after great feedback for hearing from him. So, yeah, I need to take my place back.
No. Chris will be doing this again. Now, this week, he is actually ill. He isn't very well. I won't go into too many details, but yesterday he sent me a text message to say he thought he was dying. So he's all right now, everybody. He survived. I've heard from him today, but he's okay.
I say it could have been coronavirus with all the social distancing going on in Liverpool at the moment.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's not in Liverpool. He's on the Wirral, which is the good side of the side. But yeah,
no, there's a good side.
Well, yeah, the Wirral's all right. Yeah, the Wirral's okay. So, speaking of that city, I suppose we should really start with talking about them and the fact that after a 3 month holiday for the season, they've finally won the league title. If anybody's listened to this before, you know both Ben and I aren't particularly fans of that football club. however, gracious host of the podcast that I am, I think credit should go where credit is due. They've been the best team by an absolute mile this year. You know, nobody's even come close. You know, City are a cracking football team. They play really good football, and they've not even been able to, you know, even remotely compete with Liverpool this year. So, you know, credit where it's due. They deserve to win the title this season. Ben, anything to add on that?
It's been a long process now. Klopp's been there 5 years building this team together. Yes, he won the Champions League last year, but this was the ultimate goal for them, really, is to get the Premier League title. And they've done it in a really interesting way where they had to reinvest money. They sold big stars like Suarez and Coutinho for a lot of money and pumped that money back into the right places of the squad. They've done very well recruiting internally in the Premier League with players who've got huge upside. I remember I was trying to cry out for Arsenal to sign Andy Robertson from Hull. You know, it looked a bit of a strange signing. Also, Sadio Mane from Southampton. It looked strange signings at the time, but these were players that just fitted Klopp's certain style of play that he wanted to play with huge upside. And they've done it really well. You know, they had a philosophy. They invested heavily in the right places, but they did it through sales of players who have gone on elsewhere, such as Suarez and Coutinho. And yeah, unfortunately, you just got to take your hat off to them. They've done it very well. I'm not sure. I think this could be the peak for Liverpool. I don't think they're going to compete as well as next year, just because the African Cup of Nations goes back to being a winter tournament next year. So the likes of Salah. And Mane will be going to the African Cup of Nations halfway through the Premier League season. What's not going to help them? So unless they invest players in that area, I think this could be it for Liverpool. And we'll see people like City and Man United and Chelsea really close the gap on them next year.
Yeah, I mean, let's make no mistake about it. I think United and Chelsea are probably a little bit too far away to really challenge next season. I mean, it'd be a pleasant surprise for me as a United fan if United get a lot closer than they are. I think City will be the team. I mean, it'll all depend on what happens with their appeal to the Court of Arbitration for Sport for the Champions League. If they are banned from the Champions League for the next 2 years, I think you'll see quite a lot of their players wanting to leave. They're not going to want to not play in Europe for 2 years, personally.
Yeah, because they've already won the Premier League. They've already won it. So now their aim is on the big title, and hopefully they're going to be, obviously City fans will be hoping they can win this revised European Cup competition that they're doing in.
Well, I think that's what you'll see them concentrate. Well, I mean, to be fair, it's not till August, is it? Until the end of the season, but you know, I think they're going to have a real go at winning the Champions League this year, because they may not be in it for the next 2 years. But yeah, I mean, look, the rest of the Premier League are not going to be as bad this year as they were this year. So Liverpool are not going to have it as easy as they've had it this year. That's not to say they can't win it next year, and they'll be the favourites to win it next year. But yeah, the rest of the Premier League will. I mean, Chelsea have already started spending money. United will spend money.
I don't see any with the coronavirus pandemic. I don't really see much more spending, to be fair. I think you're seeing the sugar daddy clubs will be able to spend. Man United will be able to spend just because of the fantastic marketing history and how that built up through the years, and then how self-sustaining they actually are, will allow them to compete in that sort of way with the likes of the cities and the Chelsea's, where you've seen their owners have already splashed the cash, especially Chelsea. They're seeing, you know, this is a good time to try and take advantage of clubs not being able to spend. So I'm pretty sure Timo Werner was a cert to go to Liverpool, and then the coronavirus pandemic happened and Liverpool didn't really have the funds to splash out £50 million on him. Where Chelsea, it's a drop in the water for him. So
yeah, and I mean, that, I think that's what I think you've already kind of... Yeah, I think you've already kind of seen with... I mean, it was nailed on that Paul Pogba was going to leave United this summer. And I think, personally, Bruno Fernandes was bought as his replacement. Really? But nobody is going to be able to pay the money United want for him. And there is quite strong rumours and talk going around that there's about to be an announcement this week of a contract extension for Pogba. So because he can't go anywhere, he might as well get more money out of where he is now.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Well, that's an interesting one, because I think Fernandes, the balance Man United have got now with Fernandes and Pogba in that midfield, with Martial and Rashford. Oh,
it's good.
It's good. They have that one player who's just added and just completely finished off that team. Or anything I think Man United are missing now is a clinical goal scorer, someone that's going to get you 20 goals a season.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a shame. Yeah, I think Lukaku could have been that person for you if you had the right setup behind him. So it's interesting where you'll try and look and get that striker from now, because I can't really see one from Europe that will come in this summer.
The talk is that United are going to be all in on Sancho and trying to sign Jack Grealish from Villa this summer.
Yes, very, very good technical wide players and stuff. Yeah, I get that, but does that mean you're going to try and move Marcus Rashford back through the middle, Martial through the middle? They're good strikers, maybe. But I think yeah, they're 15 goal a season strikers. You need 20, 25 goal a season strikers.
Well, I mean, if we're going to be picky, you know, Martial and Rashford both have 20 goals this season already. So,
I get, yeah, okay, all right.
But yeah, I know what you mean, though. A clinical Van Nistelrooy.
I'll tell you what, there's a player who's only got 12 months left on his contract and refusing to sign a new contract. He's already Premier League experience. He scored.
It's
Aubameyang. Aubameyang in that Man United team would be lethal.
Yeah. Well, hey, we've got good success of signing Arsenal's best centre forward in the past, haven't we? So anyway, let's leave that one there before you start crying.
Frank Stapleton.
Yeah. No, not Frank Stapleton. You know who I mean. Anyway, that's going on. That's going back to history. So we're sounding like Liverpool fans. So let's move on. So Premier, although to be fair, it's not history anymore, is it? So can't really dig in with that one. So Premier League this week, we've got the title win out of the way. Any notable games or anything that stood out for you in the Premier League games this week?
Just really looking at, I know they lost against Chelsea, that set up the victory for Liverpool to win the title. But generally, I'm so impressed with what Manchester City, the way they're playing. I just watched a game just now that just finished on TV, the FA Cup. And the way they've come out the traps after this restart, and yes, they did this Chelsea, but Kevin De Bruyne is just sensational. Like, if I could
pick, yeah, that free kick was pretty good, wasn't it?
If I could pick one player in the Premier League I'd have on my team, the first person I'd pick is Kevin De Bruyne. It's just his work rate as well. His tackling's pretty decent as well. He presses high, he wins the ball back. He's got a lethal shot on him. He can pick a pass anywhere with his eyes shut. He's just sensational. He is an unbelievable player. He is everything I wanted Mesut Ozil to be.
Yeah, I would say that Kevin De Bruyne is probably the best player in the Premier League at this moment in time.
Without a shadow of a doubt. Bournemouth are looking like they're on the downward spiral. West Ham also just shocking, isn't it, for them?
Yeah. I mean, you know, Norwich are gone.
Yeah.
I think Norwich are gone. But yeah, Bournemouth have got the issue where their best player isn't going to play for them anymore, wants to leave on a free, Ryan Fraser. You know, Burnley have got that issue at the moment as well, where there's quite a few players at Burnley who are refusing to play, and they're going to leave because the contracts end on Tuesday.
Yeah, Sean Dyche is rumoured to be wanting out of Burnley as well because he's fed up with the contract sagas.
I read that today.
Now, he would be a good manager for someone like West Ham. I could probably hear West Ham fans go, no, don't want him, blah, 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 blah. We won't play the West Ham way. I'm sorry, but the West Ham way gets you in this kind of trouble. You're not good enough to play attractive football. It gets you in trouble. We just see this. We see this cycle all the time with West Ham, where they'll have someone like Bilic in. He'll do really well. It won't go so well, so they'll get rid of him and bring in someone like David Moyes. Oh, it doesn't go well. It goes well. They survive with David Moyes, and then oh no, we want to be higher up. We want to play nicer football. So they'll bring in someone like Pellegrini and then they'll play in nice football. It won't work. They'll slide down the table, fear relegation, and bring someone like Sam Allardyce in or back David Moyes again. And they need someone who is a good, hard, sturdy coach that will keep them in the Premier League and consolidate them into what they are as a mid-table club. And I think Sean Dyche would benefit from that.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, Sean Dyche will be a popular, you know, somebody will snap him up really, really quickly. He doesn't play the greatest football. His teams don't play the greatest football, but then Burnley have never had the money to go out and really
spend
and buy players that can play a different way, if that makes sense. I don't want to say that Sean Dyche is like Tony Pulis because I think he's better.
Than Tony Pulis.
But you know,
he got Burnley into Europe. Remember that?
He did. He's always going to be tarred with that type of brush, though, isn't he? But yeah, it'll be a shame for Burnley if he goes because he's been responsible for their time spent in the Premier League in the past.
Well, when they first got into the Premier League and they went straight back down again, they stuck by Dyche and kept them on, and he got them back up and just kept them in there. Yeah, you know, Burnley are sitting 11th.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, they're safe for this year, but you know, they could be in trouble next year. They could really be in trouble next year. But I suppose. For me, I mean, you know, personal bias. I thought United looked good against Sheffield United on Wednesday night.
I had Martial.
Nice to see Martial get a hat trick. The third goal was really good.
I've got it in my fantasy team, then, so yeah, I've kind of
yeah. But then I think
taken off now.
I think Sheffield United have come back from the break in a worse position than the other teams at the top end of the table. I mean, you look at Wolves. Wolves are flying at the moment, and they are a serious contender for the Champions League places.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Sheffield United have come down, and obviously, the Chelsea City game, you've already mentioned De Bruyne. His free kick was sensational. Probably the best goal scored since...
Yeah.
Since lockdown finished, although Trent Alexander-Arnold's free kick was also good on Wednesday night, I think it was, Tuesday night, whatever night they played, you know. But yeah, I mean, the games, I think, are slowly getting better, the fitter and the more used to playing the players are. First few games were a little bit boring, but they're getting a little bit more exciting now. You know, the players are getting fitter, the football's getting better. Obviously, this weekend, there hasn't been many Premier League games because it's been the FA Cup quarterfinals. Literally, the last game finished just before we started recording. So, if we go through each of the games in turn, United Norwich on Saturday, so yesterday afternoon, went to extra time. United won 2-1. Harry Maguire scored a winner with 3 minutes to go in extra time. It was a bit of a bitty performance from United. They made 8 changes, played a lot of the squad players, you know, Jesse Lingard, Juan Mata, Ighalo, who, you know, scored again. 4th start for United, 4th goal. They made hard work of it, but, you know, they squeaked through. Second game was Sheffield United-Arsenal this lunchtime. I haven't seen it yet. I know what the score was. So, Ben, if you want to... Talk through that one.
On paper, this looked like a very difficult game. Sheffield United have been fantastic, especially at Bramall Lane this year. Arteta kind of went and changed the system a little bit and decided to match up against Chris Wilder and go with 3 at the back with 2 wing backs. I thought it was very interesting. He played Kolasinac and Kieran Tierney on the left hand side. So they took turns to be the left-sided centre-back, and then the other one went and was left wing-back for a little bit. But they kind of rotated the attack and really hammered down that left-hand side with Saka sort of playing as the left-side inverted midfielder. What you kind of saw Kevin De Bruyne does for Man City, and you can see Arteta trying to use Saka in that role for Arsenal. And to be fair, he looks quality for an 18-year-old. Nicola Pepe was fantastic. Showed some great sparks, kind of what we really signed him for.
Finally justifying his £70 million transfer?
Well, this is his first season in English football, okay? So he's got 8 goals and 8 assists in his first year of English football. He's only 23. So I don't think it's too bad a return. Yes, he could get involved more. But I think that's down to the system as well. I don't think actually Hector Bellerin on that right-hand side when he plays with him in the league actually suits playing with him, to be fair. It doesn't look like a natural partnership there. So it could be something interesting going forward, I suppose. But no, we won a penalty earlier on. Lacazette got fouled, a silly, stupid foul by Sheffield defender in the box. And 1-0 up, and then you just kind of knew they were going to equalise. They kind of just kept building pressure on us towards the end, as you would when you're 1-0 down chasing the game. We were trying to hold on, and then Goldrick, got a stupid clearance from Kolasinac. Just typical Arsenal defending, really. booting the ball into his own player that falls to Goldrick, who's 1-on-1, the keeper, and slots it in. And then we just went straight up the other end, and against the run of play, Danny Ceballos very calmly finished past Dean Henderson, who probably would be disappointed he got beaten at his near post. I know last week episode you were bigging up Dean Henderson. He's had a fantastic season, but he's going to look back at that and really feel, you know, he should have done better there. But no.
Apparently he made some good saves in the game, though.
He made 1 or 2 good saves against Pepe. Yeah, he did. He made 1 or 2 good saves. But when we're talking to goalkeepers, I think since we lost Bernd Leno, did we talk about that? Was I around for that? I can't remember if we talked about it, Bernd Leno's injury.
Me, no, you weren't on. You weren't on last week, were you? Me and Chris touched on it. I'm just going to say this. It was a 50-50 challenge. The keeper did not have the ball in his hands when Mope jumped.
He did.
The ball was there to
be
won.
We'll move on. He did. I'll send you pictures. No, he did.
No, he
did. We're not going to get the debate because
Mope is off the floor by the time he gets the ball in his hands.
I don't know why he's turning his back on the goalkeeper and then he's trying to. He knew what he was trying to do. Don't get me wrong. I would, if I was a player, I would have done it as well. But he knew if he just tried to push Leno out of his box, he would try and drop it and get a free kick. End of story. But Martinez came in and he looked incredible. Honestly, the distribution, his footwork, he's kind of modern day goalkeeper, and he's made one or two crucial saves as well. So to have him as our backup goalkeeper, it's actually one position I'm not worried about for Arsenal. I think we're going to be all right there. But no, very happy to go through. Yeah, two wins on the bounce now. We're kind of getting a bit of momentum, and we'll see where it goes from here. But yeah, semi-final against Manchester City. What else?
We were going to do that at the end, but you've kind of spoilt that already now because we haven't talked about Newcastle, Man City yet, and you've just kind of anyway. Anyway, so the third game, Leicester against Chelsea. Pretty tame game, to be honest. Chelsea won 1-0.
Chelsea
not really
just,
much.
They're just kind of ticking along, aren't they? Leicester,
they are. They're doing well.
They haven't been great. Yeah, Chelsea is a team I think next year could be in real good position going forward. I really think with Zaitch and Werner coming in, they've got some very good players. Billy Gilmore, I think, looks fantastic. Mount, if he could beef up a little bit and ride a challenge or two, he's going to be very, very good as well.
Yeah, cool. So far you've got United, Arsenal and Chelsea through, and obviously Ben's already discussed Man City, Newcastle was the last game. This was pretty much one-way traffic for the entire 90 minutes. Man City won 2-0, I think it finished, didn't it? I think I stopped watching with about 10 minutes to go. Finished 2-0. Man City just dominated. Newcastle could hardly get out of their half. And as Ben alluded to before, the draw for the semi-final was made. So United against Chelsea and Man City against Arsenal. It's quite possibly the strongest semi-final lineup the FA Cup has had for a good few years.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think it shows the strength of squad depth as well is getting better. All the draws have been nicer.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to make an early prediction. I'll ask you to do the same. I think it'll be a United City final.
I think it'll be a City Chelsea final.
Okay, there you go. We disagree. Surprise, surprise. Right. So for the last part of the show, Ben, when we spoke earlier this week, wanted to have a bit of a rant about Arsenal. But since we spoke earlier on this week, Arsenal have actually won both of their games this week. So I think rather than ranting about Arsenal as a whole and the maddening decision to give David Luiz a new contract, I think Ben wants to have a bit of a rant and a moan about another topic. So, Ben, the floor is yours.
Yeah, it's just it kind of does link in with what a big problem is at Arsenal. And it's the problem with agents these days. Agents running football clubs. We've seen it in good ways. Well, I don't know if in the long term it will be a good way with Wolves, where Mendes has got the head coach as a client, and then he's also got bought some star players there. And you know, people wouldn't actually go to Wolves, such as Jimenez, Ruben Neves, Patricio. You know, you wouldn't see them signing for Wolves a couple of years ago, but because this agent is in place there, that's why they're going there. And it seems like Arsenal are trying to go down that model with a Brazilian agent, Kia Drapchum, who's our technical director's agent, Edu, who's our technical director. So he's kind of embedding himself into Arsenal. And I just don't like it, because we're just getting palmed these players who aren't up to scratch just because we're keeping his mates happy and basically making his mates rich. And it just stinks to high heaven. And a lot of football clubs do it. And I just think it's completely wrong. You know, we used to have a really good recruitment policy at Arsenal. We had our own data analytics company where we would find players, young players across Europe, and bring him in based on data and scouting. Now we seem to do it more by networking with looking who their agent is. I don't think you should be signing a player on who their agent is. You should be signing it on the actual talent on the pitch. Man United, you had this issue, didn't you, when Mourinho first signed?
Yes, when Mourinho joined United, the first signing he made was Eric Bailly, but then we made three more signings that summer. Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Paul Pogba and Henrik Mkhitaryan, and all three of them were represented by Mino Raiola. Now, I think Ibrahimovic was done prior to this previous season ending because it was a free transfer, and United had been linked with Pogba for a while, but there is talk that United were kind of told that, you know, if you want Pogba, you're going to need to sign Mkhitaryan as well. And he only really stayed for 2 years before we then swapped him for
Alexis Sanchez.
And that hasn't really worked out for either team, to be honest, has it? United or Arsenal?
No, we're both paying a bit of wages of players that aren't even at the club anymore. But it's just a way where it just seems to be the rich getting richer in football, and it just stinks, and I don't like it. It's something that really frustrates me. I can go and see Arsenal signing Willian on a free transfer. He's a career disruption player and been linked with Arsenal heavily in the papers. Don't think we need a wide right midfielder, but Willian wants to stay in London apparently. And where's he going to sign? He's going to sign where all his clients are. You know,
wouldn't surprise me if he went to Spurs.
I don't see it. I really don't see it.
Mourinho tried to sign him for United, and Mourinho signed him for Chelsea.
Okay, I just think that this Duratrum link is too heavy there. Philip Coutinho's been linked all over the place. He, you know, I don't think we can afford to buy him permanently, but I could definitely see a loan and a huge loan fee or something coming out for Coutinho. It's something for me that just stinks. I hate it. It's ruining football, and it's slowly going to ruin Arsenal. And the hierarchy of the club stinks. It's all.
Is Arteta a strong enough manager and character to say no to that? Or is he there as a bit of a yes man?
I think he is. You've seen the way he's been dealing with Ozil and Guendouzi recently, where their attitude has been shocking, and he's just cut them out of the team. So you've not got the right attitude. He's learnt from the best, let's be honest. He's learnt from the best who's not scared.
Sir Alex Ferguson.
The current best.
Jürgen Klopp. I know you mean. Yes. You're talking about Guardiola. Yes. I know you mean. Yeah. Sorry, I was just winding you up.
Right. So I think he has got the mindset to try and say no, but I don't know how much, you know, do we've got to sign Willian to be able to get hold of one of these players? I can't remember, there's a young kiddie at Porto who's supposed to be, he's 18, and he's tearing up out there at the moment. He's a Duratrum client. And we've got to go and sign Willian, so in a year's time, we'll have exclusive first rights access to this player. And that's the sort of stuff.
Might be how it works. That might be how it works.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, my hope is, and you know, we're running out of time here, so I'll make this my last point. My hope is that, you know, this coronavirus break we've had in football is going to kind of reset how football runs itself financially. I probably wish him for too much there, but you know, if it can bring down wages, bring down transfer fees, bring down the insane amount of money that TV companies pay for the coverage, I think that's only a good thing for football across the board.
It won't, because you've got clubs like City and PSG who are funded by oil states. Simple. It won't.
It will only
make the gap bigger.
Well, we'll see. Right. Anything else to add, Ben? Are we calling it a night now?
We'll call it a night. Premier League starts again. Yeah, we've got games coming up left, right, and centre. Our ears. You know, I think we're playing on Wednesday. So
tomorrow, I think United are on Tuesday night. I'm not sure if there's a game tomorrow night. I don't think there is.
No, I think it's Championship. Was heating up very nicely.
You've got the League Two playoff final tomorrow night, but we won't talk about that.
No, we won't. You know, that's that's complete falconing it by
Cheltenham. Shush. Yeah, let's end it there. Right. Thank you very much. Right, everybody. Thank you for listening. Ben and I will be back next weekend to review this week's Premier League, all the talking points, anything like that. Now, you know, new thing, if anybody has any questions they want to fire at us, please feel free to contact us on Twitter at Dome Patrol UK. Well, Don't Patrol, is it Don't Patrol UK or Don't Patrol United UK? I'm never sure.
Don't Patrol UK, Don't Patrol US.
Don't Patrol UK, Don't Patrol US. Any questions you have, send them over on there and we'll make sure we try to answer them and get a bit of fan interaction going. Good night, everybody.